All right. Well, good morning, everybody, again. Today, I'm excited. We are officially starting our summer series called Followers of the Way, as you can see big here on the screen. And it's based off of the book, Followers of the Way. I see a couple copies up here, got a copy over there. So thank you. I'm excited about it if you picked one up. But I'm excited to jump into this series because we're based off a book, Followers of the Way by Simon Reed. And I think we've got a picture of the book here too, so you can see it. It's on Amazon. Again, it's shipping from the UK, so it takes a little bit of time to get here. They only order a few at a time. So if you get one of the few they have in the States already, you can get it pretty quick. If not, you're going to have to wait a couple weeks, which is totally okay. But just so you know, this is the book we're going through. And I'm excited because I have been planning this series since August of 2024. So almost a year, not quite. I've been very excited about this. So back in August, Daniel had officially decided his sabbatical dates and we were going through them. And he asked me if I would be comfortable stepping into the interim role while he was away. And I'll be honest, I was a little nervous. One, because sometimes it's like, I'm a child. What do you mean? You want me to be in charge of things? And then I remember, like, I'm an adult, and that's a normal thing for him to ask me. But also, Daniel is great, right? We love Daniel, and he leaves behind a big gap of leadership to fill. He is such a great leader, and he is so full of integrity and passion for the church. And so I was a little nervous about, like, stepping into that role because, like, he's an awesome leader. But there was one thing that pushed me over the edge of being willing to take over, and that was because he said, well, you get to pick the summer series. And I knew immediately, I was like, I have just the thing that we're going to be talking about. And truly, this series has been something that I've been so looking forward to sharing with you. But I want to tell you the story of how this came to be, because this, again, is not something that I just randomly picked. God has been working on this series at Meridian for much longer than I realized. So I'm going to tell you a quick story of how this all came to be, if you don't mind. Now, it's kind of a funny one, but I want to take you back on a journey of how it all we arrived at this exact moment of where we're sitting right here today. And for me, it started in the dining room of a Jaggers on US 31. And the young adults were going out to eat for our meal. We normally go out to lunch on Sundays and we hang out. And we were going out to Jaggers, grabbing a bite to eat, and me and Alec Kern and Melody Kern were sitting and talking. We're kind of joking, like, wouldn't it be fun if we all took, like, an international, like, trip together? Like, we want to travel more. Like, wouldn't that be so fun? And we quickly realized, we're like, well, I'm not kidding. Are you kidding? Like, I'm not kidding. And so it kind of developed, like, we're down. We're going to plan this trip. We're going to go out of the country. We're going to do something fun, the three of us. And we threw around a few ideas of where we wanted to go, but we settled on going to the UK. Specifically, we were going to do like London and maybe a couple of other places that we decided we're going to go. But we were really excited about it. But shortly after we decided we're going to the UK, we're going to do maybe go up to Scotland a little bit, Daniel shows up at one of our weekly staff meetings with a book called The Celtic Way of Evangelism that some of you, he might have asked some of you to read that as well. But he was really excited about this book, and he said that it had renewed his interest in the idea of ancient Celtic church and how we could apply it to Meridian. And he gave me a copy and wanted to read it. And now I had fallen in love with some of the differences in the Celtic church, and I was super excited about it and how we could apply some of the practices of the ancient Celtic church. And so I'm starting to think more along the lines of like Ireland and Scotland. And so in my trip I planned, I was like, well, what if we hopped on a train and went up to Edinburgh while we're there so we can maybe see some of the things in this book that I'm reading? And it really spoke to us on a spiritual level, this ancient Christian movement that was focused on mutual understanding and love for our neighbors, and for being a group of people known for prayer and for love and for community with one another. And that sounded right up my alley. It sounds right up Meridian's alley. You probably have heard us some of those phrases over and over in the past few years. Not by coincidence, right? So we started referencing this book, The Celtic Way of Evangelism, in sermons, whether implicitly or explicitly. We did a whole discussion over it on St. Patrick's Day. You might remember me, Daniel, and Jenny. We got up and did a roundtable on St. Patrick's Day where we talked about the Celtic way of evangelism and just Celtic Christianity in general. We were also in a series at the time called, over the Sermon on the Mount, called The Way. It was just called The Way, and we did all of the Sermon on the Mount. It took us a million years, approximately, to get through it. But we did, and it was super fun. But we were learning about how the kingdom of God looks different than what we might have thought, which, goes back to that Celtic way of evangelism. So finally, on April Fool's Day of last year, Melody, Alec, and I drove up to Chicago. We caught a flight down to London, and it was a super fun trip. There was a lot of ups and downs, a lot of schedule changes, but we made it. We had a lot of fun. But about halfway through our trip, we ended up at a place called Bath Abbey, and it looks like this. And it is in Bath, UK, which is the name of a city. It's named after the Roman baths that were there. And so Bath, UK. This was actually, we didn't know this until we got there, but the very first royal of England, their coronation was here in Bath Abbey, which I did not know. It was pretty cool. And so it's a beautiful church. It's still functioning. So they still have services. They do small groups. Like, it's a functioning church that happens out of there. But because of its historical significance, they do tours and people can see it. There's a lot of history in the building as well. And so we decided we were going to take a tour of this church and look around. And it's a really, it's like, $2 donation to get in. It's very cheap, so it's basically donation based, but they ask you to give a donation. But if you can't afford it, you can still go into the church and look around. And then in the gift shop down below, the gift shop they have is a little museum. They turned the basement of the church into a museum over Celtic Christianity and some of the movement, some of the monastic movement that was going through at the time. It's very kid friendly. If you're ever in Bath, UK, don't miss this. This is one of my favorite things that we did while we were in Bath. But the museum, like I said, it lets out to this little gift shop. It has your local like souvenirs, some like handmade crafts, some of your just like typical like touristy type things that you could find in any gift shop in Bath. But all of the money goes back into funding the church, and they do a lot of outreach there. All of the money, like you could see, they had it all posted on the wall where all their money was going to. It was a really cool place. But in this gift shop was a bookshelf. And so naturally, that's where I ended up, was at the bookshelf. And so Alec and Melody and I are kind of picking up random books, and we're flipping through it. And Alec pulls this book off the shelf, and he says, "Hey, Emily, you should look at this book. This looks like something that you would want to read. It looks like all the things that we've been going through at Meridian the past few months." And he was right. And he picked up this book, Followers of the Way by Simon Reed. And that started it all. And we'll get back to the book a little bit later, but I wanted you to see that God has been cooking up these ideas with us for a really long time. Like, I truly believe that after reading this book, like, God led us on this journey all throughout our trip to the UK to this little bookshop where this local, like, this bookshelf only had local pastor books on there. It wasn't like big popular books. And he led us to find this book in this little like treasure hunt that we went on in the UK. I truly believe that was what I was supposed to go to the UK for, was finding this book. So this, again, wasn't just haphazardly chosen because it was easy. I believe that God has something that he wants to teach us this summer at Meridian. And my hope is that we can use the insights from this book and a few other resources, obviously the Bible, right? And we're going to use these to answer some questions that we have and make our lives look more like Jesus this summer. Daniel's on sabbatical, but that doesn't mean that we stop working here. We have a lot of stuff that I want us to get through, some questions I want us to wrestle with, so ways we can grow in the church. And I think this is going to help us. But on that same trip, it reminded me of a little bit of an annoying habit that I developed. And I've had it since I was a kid, since I was a little girl, is that I tend to walk out in front of a group. So whenever we're all walking together, I tend to be the one in the front of the group. I'll walk faster, and I kind of walk out in front of everybody else. But the problem is, most of the time, I don't know where I'm going. And so I will just start walking, and we'll be in a town or in a city, and I'll just start walking ahead. I don't know where I'm going, but for some reason, I'm the one in front. And I think it's because when I was really little, I'm not very tall. And so when I was really little, I was really little, and I couldn't keep up with everybody. And so my parents didn't want me to get lost because I couldn't like keep up with everybody. So they made me walk in front so that way they could always kind of see me. But because I didn't know where I was going, they would either grab the back of my neck or my ponytail, and they would steer me in the direction that I needed to go. And I hated it. I mean, I hated it. So I started walking faster so they couldn't catch me. So I think now I'm just in this habit of, like, I've got to walk in front and I got to walk faster than everybody else so nobody tries to grab my neck or my hair and tell me where to go. I hated it. But again, the problem was I still don't know where I'm going. I didn't then and I don't now. So a lot of times I'll get out in front and realize, like, I've been leading us somewhere I don't know. And this happened all the time in the UK because Alec was the only one who played for a cell phone plan. And so he had the GPS. And so I would walk out in front and I'm just walking. And then all of a sudden I'd get to the street where we have to turn. He'd be like, nope, Emily, this way. I'm like, oh, sorry. And then I'd go this way. He'd be like, nope, Emily, we're going this way. I'm like, oh, sorry. I'm like, why didn't I not just let somebody else lead who knew where they were going? I don't know, but I didn't. And it was pretty annoying. Like, I needed to be in the front of the group, but I needed a map, and I didn't have one. And it seemed like at times that I would be okay. And a lot of times, like, I have a pretty good sense of direction, so I could get us there, probably not the fastest way, but I could get us there in that general direction. But it was pretty easy for me to get turned around, and I would get really frustrated about that. But this is a theme that actually in this book, Simon Reed talks about this idea of discipleship in the same way. So discipleship is our lifelong journey as a follower of Jesus. But if we set out on that journey without a map to guide us, we quickly get discouraged or distracted. So last week, I warned us about settling for less. If we don't know where we're going, don't know what we're supposed to do, oftentimes we settle for less than everything that God has for us. And this is why, like, when we forget why we're on this journey with God, or we don't set goalposts for ourselves, or have a clear vision of where we're going, we often get frustrated, and we settle for less. So we can see evidence of this all over the world, and people in the church settling for less. They might talk one way, but then act another way. They might really worship well, like genuinely on Sundays, but they have no idea what to do Monday through Saturday. And again, not just because they're like two-faced, because they just don't know. They worship really well on Sundays. They might read the Bible, but completely miss the point. They might leave the church altogether. And we look at all of these problems, and church leaders like me will say, well, our problem is a lack of discipleship. And I think that's right, but I don't exactly think a lot of leaders realize what they're saying. Because what exactly is discipleship? The deeper problem we have is that we have no idea what discipleship actually means or looks like. And that's kind of what Simon Reed is saying. So he says it like this. The problem is so many of us have been told that we are or ought to be disciples of Jesus, but no one seems to be able to tell us exactly what that means or how to do it in a sustainable way that connects with all the stuff we have going on in our lives, not just the church bits. So something that I think that Western Christianity and the Western church is often guilty of is thinking that discipleship is a program that you often go through for 12 weeks, right? Like, you do your 12-week discipleship, check, you're done. Probably not, right? Or maybe it's a focus that your church has for a sermon series that you're in for a while. And then that's it. You focused on discipleship for a little bit, and now you're going to focus on something else. But discipleship is simply our lifelong journey of following the way of Jesus. And Jesus will set this up, and he set this up for his disciples at the Last Supper before he was arrested and then crucified. And Jesus is knowing what's about to happen because he's Jesus and he kind of knows the plan. So he knows that something big is coming, change is coming. So he starts saying all of these statements about vaguely what's going on and where he's going. He says he's going to a place to be with his Father. And he's going to a place where the disciples can't really join him yet. And it's all kind of vague, but he says some of these statements. So let's start in John 13, verses 33 through 35. So again, this is at that Last Supper that we hear a lot about. So it says, "My children, I will be with you only a little longer, and you will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I'm going, you cannot come. But a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." And then Peter, being Peter, says, "Where are you going?" "Where are you going?" And Jesus replies, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow, but you will follow later." And then they're still not getting it. And so let's jump to John chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. And so he says again, don't let your hearts be troubled. So you can see they're getting worried that Jesus is leaving. He said, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, so also believe me. He's like, believe what I'm telling you. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I'm going to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Now, let's pause here for a brief minute. So the disciples, again, they still don't get it. Jesus is like, hey, I'm going to go. I need you to love each other while I'm gone, but you're going to be okay. I'll come back, but while you're here, love each other. Follow my commandment, which is love each other, and I'll be back. And they're like, what? Stop. Where are you going? And so Thomas says, he's the one to speak up next, and he says, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Now, we're going to pause here. I know that Thomas gets a lot of grief for being doubting Thomas, right? He's got that one story, he's doubting Thomas. But to me, Thomas asks a lot of good questions. He is just saying what everybody's thinking, and he gets a lot of grief for it, for being a doubter. But if I heard Jesus saying all of these things about how he's going to leave us to go to another place, but he's going to be back to get us, but also we're going to have to get there ourselves, but we know the way to get there, I also would have a lot of questions. That's very vague and frustrating. And to me, it's a very valid question he's asking. How will we know the way? If we still don't know where we're going, how will we know the way to get there? And this is still the question we are asking ourselves over 2,000 years later. If we don't know the end goal, how are we ever supposed to get where we're supposed to be? How will this whole discipleship thing work out if we have no idea who we're supposed to be at the end of it or what we're going to find at the end of the journey? We're asking ourselves this every day. Christians ask ourselves this every day. What am I supposed to be doing with all of this? Where are we going with all of this? Now, Reed refers back to this old phrase in his book, but he says, if you aim at nothing, you'll be sure to hit it. You might have heard that before. If you aim at nothing, you'll be sure to get it. Now, if we don't have a clear picture of where we're supposed to end up, we are sure to settle for less or give up and get nowhere in the process. But thankfully, Jesus hears Thomas's question, and he responds with a very famous verse that I want to challenge us to look at a different way. So Thomas says, if we don't know where you're going, how will we know the way? And Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And if you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. So I love this verse so much. And because the disciples are really human, they still don't get it. And so Philip jumps in this time. And Philip is another one of the disciples. And he says this little statement that little does he know is going to launch Jesus into multiple chapters of teaching. But he says this, Lord, show us the Father and that will be enough for us. Show us God and that will be enough for us. And Jesus launches back into this teaching, multi-chapter teaching about knowing Jesus, knowing him. And he tells his disciples that you will know the way because you know me. And you know the Father because you know me. And you will know the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit gets here because you know me. And the Holy Spirit will continue to lead you in the way because the Holy Spirit knows me. I am the way. And we hear this scripture get taught a lot by saying Jesus is the only way you get to heaven by acknowledging that Jesus is Lord. And that's so true. I believe that. But I think what Jesus is saying here is so much bigger and yet so much simpler than the way that we've frequently been taught this scripture. Right? Jesus is saying the way is Jesus. Our way is to become more like Jesus. If we want to know about Jesus, we should try to live like Jesus. If we want to know God more, we should try to live like Jesus because Jesus knew God. And if we want to know ourselves more, we should be more like Jesus so that way we could be closer to God, know God, be more like God, our creator who made us. And so Jesus is saying, I am the way. The only way to the Father is to know me. God is this big concept that sometimes feels unknowable, and discipleship can feel so big and scary. Like we've got to have all of it figured out. But Jesus is saying, follow me. Know me. I am the way, and the rest will figure itself out on the journey. Because if you know me, you will know God. You will know the Spirit. You will know the way. And again, Jesus is modeling our way, is every area of our lives to become closer to the way that Jesus lived his life. It's not just who we are on Sundays. It's who we are every day of the week. It's everything that we do gets modeled the way that Jesus lived his life. And Jesus did more stuff than just ministry. He had friends. He rested. I'm sure he played games. Like, Jesus had a life. He had a job. He was a carpenter. Like, he had all of these things, and the more that we model our lives after Jesus in every aspect of our lives, the closer it is. The way is not just saying the right words or by praying the right prayer. The way is knowing Jesus, being his friend, being his follower. In fact, before Christianity was known as Christianity, we were just referred to as people who followed the way. Like, the way. They were like, oh, they're a follower of the way. And it's like, that meant they were a follower of the way that Jesus lived his life. That's before we were called Christians or Christianity. Just, oh, they're just followers of the way. Which I think is a really beautiful picture. So then Jesus goes on in this section to say that if his disciples love him and if his disciples know him, they will obey his commands to them. Well, in chapter 13, verse 34, Jesus just said, my new commandment I give to you, love one another, love each other. He commands them later to remain like him and how he modeled them to live their lives. Even after he's gone, he says, remain in me, remain in the way, keep living life like this even after I'm gone. And he asks them to remain his friends. Still talk to me, still be my friend even after I'm far away. This is a journey. It's a process. It's growing closer and closer to God and molding our lives to look more and more like Jesus every day. That's discipleship. That's following Jesus, following the way. And it's common in Celtic Christianity to live by a rule of life or a way of life. And these are just a list of principles that help keep us on track to being more like Jesus so that we can have a clearer direction to reaching our goals and staying on track. So some of the young adult men in the group are going through John Mark Comer's book, Practicing the Way, and it's developing so they're writing their own way of life or their own rule of life. But the book that we have, the one that we're going through, actually is going to guide us through what they call waymarks, which were established by a discipleship community called the Community of Aiden and Hilda, which is based out of the holy island of Lindisfarne, which is in the UK. And that's actually where I'm taking my pilgrimage this fall, is to this place in that community. But they wrote a list of way paths that are just 10 simple way marks or statements that I want us to explore as we look to get serious about being followers of the way. If we want to grow in our discipleship, well, here are 10 easy steps that we can take to be more like Jesus and keep our eyes focused on the goal. And here's what they are. We're not going to be doing these in order, full transparency, but we're going to be going through all 10 of these this summer. 1, be a lifelong learner. 2, journey with a soul friend. 3, keep a rhythm of prayer, work, and recreation. 4, live as simply as possible. 5, celebrate and care for creation. 6, heal whatever is broken. 7, be open to the Holy Spirit and listen. 8, pray for good to overcome evil. 9, pursue unity. And 10, share Jesus and justice. These are simple ideas, but they're pulled directly from the teachings and the way of life that Jesus had. These are pulled directly from Scripture of how Jesus lived his life. And these are practical steps that if we keep these in our minds, if we focus, if we learn to model our life after these waymarks, we will be following in the way that Jesus modeled his life for us. Now, it is our goal as a church that we would make disciples who are known for love. And I believe that these simple steps, if taken seriously, will not fail in helping us achieve that mission. Be disciples known for love. That comes directly from John 13, verse 34. Love each other, for this how you will be known as my disciples. And while this seems simple, it will not come without challenge. But I expect the enemy to dislike this plan. I think that the enemy doesn't want us to love each other. And I think the enemy doesn't want us to follow these way paths. He doesn't want us to live in the way of Jesus. So I expect the enemy to challenge us to reject the way and settle for something less than truly knowing Jesus. But we cannot settle for less. And it might be scary to shift our thinking of what being a follower of the way really looks like. But I believe that if we're willing to give this a shot, even if just for the summer, we will see God move in our lives and in our community. I believe that if we can challenge ourselves, like, I'm going to be all in on this for the summer. And if you hate it, you can stop in August. Daniel will be back and it will be fine. But I'm asking you to dig in for the summer and really try to focus on these way paths. Really try to engage, change your life. See if any little adjustments according to these way paths will help you see Jesus more clearly. Help you know him so that you might know the Father. So as the band comes back up, again, let me just review my challenge to you. We know that... To know the way, we must know Jesus. So let us have the courage and the humility that it takes this journey to lead us to newness in Christ, right? We want to see newness in Christ. We want to be renewed, but it's going to take courage and it's going to take humility. So I challenge us to that. Let Meridian be a place that is known for how we love each other and how we love the people around us. And when they know us by our love, they will know Jesus. And when they know Jesus, they will know God. And when they know God, they too will know the way. So let's pray together. God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the opportunity that I have to share a word that you've put on my heart long, long ago. Thank you for modeling the way when you were here. God, I pray for courage and humility over our congregation. I pray that we would be willing to make a change that we need to change. I pray that we will be able to see you. I pray that everything that we do, every action that we have, every conversation that we have, we look to you to see the way. May we know you more. May we know God more. May we know the Holy Spirit more. And help us not settle for less than everything that you have for us. We love you so much, and we thank you for the work that you've prepared in advance for us to do this summer. We hope that we can do it in a way that honors you and glorifies you and helps us as Meridian be more like you. We love you so much, and in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.